Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us today for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. When we embrace his word and we walk in his word and we love it and we do our best to follow it, we walk in his righteousness and it guides us and leads us and it keeps us on a good, firm foundation. And nothing will cause us to stumble. And as we get into this week's teaching, we're going to see a time period where Solomon chose not to love a part of God's Torah, of the instructions that he had given him. And because of that, a stumbling block was put in front of Solomon, and Solomon ended up stumbling over that stumbling block. So let's go ahead and read here in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which Yahweh had said to the people of Israel, "You shall not enter into marriage with them, and neither shall they with you. For surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. So as we start this chapter off, we're seeing here, now the Torah, as we see referenced here in this verse, it said, the instructions given to Israel was, "You shall not enter into marriage with foreign women, and neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." That was the instructions given unto them. But Solomon had a love for these women, and he desired these women more than he desired to follow God's law and the commands that he had given him regarding these women. And because he loved them more than he loved God's word and his instruction he had given him, they caused him to stumble. In fact, because of his love for them and him pursuing after them, he actually, for a period in time, turns his heart away from God. So these women became a stumbling block unto Solomon. So we have to be careful for those things in our life which are stumbling blocks. Those things which we tend to hold on to, those things that we love more than we love when it comes to his commands and instructions. When we're reading through his word and we read something and we find something that just hits us the wrong way and we're like, "Man, I don't like that. I don't want to follow that." Those are the things that are the stumbling blocks. Those are the things that we love more than we love his word. And over a period of time, if we allow ourselves to purposefully, continually walk in this sin over and over and over again, we can fall into the trap that Solomon fell into, where he eventually, for a period of time, kind of turned his back on God, and he was worshiping all the gods of these women that he had married. When you think about stumbling blocks, I think about what Yeshua would say in Mark chapter 9 and verse 43. He says, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell." So Yeshua, in this passage, as he's speaking to us, he is giving us the, you could say, the depths or the how far he wants us to go when it comes to removing stumbling blocks that are in our lives. We all have this fleshly nature within us. we all have these desires that are inside of us that are at war with God's Torah. Our flesh is at war with the Spirit. His Torah is Spirit. Okay. When we follow His law, we are walking in that which is righteous, that which is good, and that which is holy, that which is spiritual. Okay. So His law sets us apart. His law consecrates us from the world. That makes it holy. The Spirit is going to lead us and guide us according to God's law. The Spirit isn't going to draw us away from God's law. It's going to draw us to God's law. That's why Paul said that His law, His Torah, is Spirit, is spiritual. When we walk in obedience, we're walking in that which is spiritual. But our obedience doesn't flow from a point of trying to earn justification, because we never will. Our obedience comes out of an aim for our love from Him once we have been justified, once we have been cleansed and washed in the blood of Yeshua. And we sin, we mess up, because as I was saying, our flesh is at war with this spiritual man. And because we're at war with it, sometimes our flesh wins. But when our flesh wins, the blood of Yeshua is there and forgives us of our sin and cleanses us of our unrighteousness. But because of His blood being there, we are not to take the stance that I don't need to fight my flesh. I don't need to get rid of the stumbling blocks that are in my life, because it's okay. His blood is there. I'm forgiven. I can continue to walk and do however I choose to do because I'm forgiven. That's not the right heart. That's not the right attitude, because eventually that heart will grow cold and hard and will turn its back on God and on Yeshua. So we have to be careful to identify the stumbling blocks that are in our lives, to see them, to notice them, to see the parts of our flesh that is at war against His law, and where our flesh is winning against His law, and where our flesh is winning against the law. We need to be so serious about getting rid of that sin that we identify the stumbling blocks and do whatever it takes to stop and repent of that behavior. Repentance is not just a prayer in which we pray and ask for forgiveness, but repentance is to have a 180. It's to have a new mindset. It's to turn from the way we're thinking and the way we're acting and what we're doing, and to do something new. The extent to which we are to get rid of these stumbling blocks, Yeshua compares it to plucking your eye out if your eye is causing you to sin. Yeshua is not promoting self-mutilization in this scripture. He is just stating how serious we need to be when it comes to removing the stumbling blocks that are in our lives. Because if we grow cold and we grow at peace with the stumbling blocks in our lives and we allow them to stay, they can cause our hearts to grow cold. And when you think about the eye, He mentions the eye. So when He says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. This is in reference to those things that you see that causes you to stumble and sin. So if there's something you have that causes you to see something that would cause you to stumble and sin, maybe you should think about getting rid of the thing that is causing you to see that, causing you to stumble. The hand speaks of that which brings action. that bring pleasure while doing something? Is there certain actions that you do that bring pleasure that is sinful? And are there things that you can remove that can remove the temptation in your life in those areas? Now, let's look at verse 49 from this chapter. It says, "For everyone will be salted with fire." So the warning that Yeshua is giving that is, it's better to get rid of the stumbling block than to be thrown into the fire, to be thrown into hell, okay? Everyone will be salted with fire. What he's speaking of here is discipline. So you will be disciplined. So if you're walking in outright disobedience, if you are purposefully and willfully doing that which you know is not right and is sin, he will discipline you. He will bring his correction because he loves you and he wants to try to get you back on course. He does not want your heart to grow cold. He doesn't want you to turn your back towards him. So he's going to bring his discipline. Okay. So when we think of discipline, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord," or Yahweh, "nor be weary when reproved by him." So don't think lightly of the fact that he disciplines you. Don't hate his discipline. Don't despise his discipline. But understand that his discipline is there for a reason. His discipline is there because he desires to have a relationship with you. His desire is for you to be in the kingdom with him in the future and not in hell. And because he desires that which is best for you, and for you to spend eternity with him, he's going to bring his discipline when his discipline is necessary. So when his discipline comes, don't hate it, don't despise it, and don't think lightly of it. But understand the weightiness of the situation that is occurring. And may we learn to receive his discipline and respond to his discipline correctly. And how do we respond correctly? By identifying the sin that we have in our lives that he's trying to get our attention, that he is wanting us to turn from. So when his discipline comes, we need to be, as the psalmist said, and said, "Oh Lord, search my heart and show me that which is inside of me that is not right." That's not the exact quote, but that's the attitude we need to have. Search my heart. Find what is wrong, what is wicked, the iniquity that is in my heart. Show me that which I need to remove from my heart. Okay? "Nor be weary when reproved by him." So persevere under the trial. Persevere under the discipline. Don't grow tired under his discipline. Don't give up under his discipline. But understand that his grace is there for us. His grace will carry us through whatever we're going through in our lives. Sometimes we will face trials in our lives because he's bringing his discipline into our lives to correct us. But his grace is there to carry us through his discipline. And we just need to learn to notice in the spot when his discipline is at work in our lives, and for us to take the time to spot and see what it is that we need to correct in our lives. Now let's look at verse 6. "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." So he disciplines us because he loves us. As I was stating, he wants to spend eternity with us. He wants us with him. And so because he loves us, he disciplines us. He has a desire to protect us. Okay? His protection for us is why he brings discipline. He desires to protect us, which is why he gave us his law, his Torah. His Torah is meant to protect us, to guide us in righteousness, to lead us in that which brings blessings, and that which brings life, that which brings peace, or that which brings shalom, a fullness of life, a fullness of joy. Sin brings pleasure for a season, but when we walk in obedience to his word and his Torah, we receive a fullness of joy that is unmatched by the pleasures of sin. And he wants us to experience the fullness of his joy. He wants us to experience his blessing, his shalom. And so because of that, he brings his discipline when we're not walking in the path which will bring us to his shalom. So when he brings his discipline, he treats us as his son, as someone whom he has received as his own. If you're not receiving his discipline, the question is, are you really his? Because if you're his, he's going to bring his discipline. Now let's look at verse 7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. If you're not receiving discipline, you're not his child. You don't belong to him. So if you are a believer, if you are his child, you're going to receive discipline. So don't despise the discipline. If you want to get rid of the discipline, you have to choose not to be his child anymore. So I would be careful rejecting his discipline. Now let's look at verse 10. For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So we have been disciplined for a short time, as seemed best to them. Okay, speaking of our earthly fathers, okay, but he, our heavenly father, disciplines us for our good that we may share his holiness. Okay. That is the reason for his discipline, that we can share in his holiness, walk in that which is righteous, experience his blessing, his shalom, right? Share in his holiness. What is holiness? Holiness means to be set apart, so that we will be set apart from the world. God's desire for us as believers is for us not to walk in conformity unto the world, not to walk in the desires of our flesh as the world does, giving in to whatever our fleshly nature wants, blending in with the crowd around us, but for us to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. We are to look as Yeshua looked, not to look like the world. Well, the question is, what did Yeshua look like? How did Yeshua walk? What did Yeshua do? Well, Yeshua was the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. He perfectly obeyed God's Torah. That's how he walked. That's what he did. He walked in obedience to God's Torah, his law. So what are we to do? We are to walk as he walked. He walked in obedience. We walk in obedience. We do what he did. So out of our belief in Yeshua, we're cleansed from our sin. His blood washes away all of our uncleanness. He puts his spirit inside of us, and by his spirit, he gives us a new heart, which gives us a desire to walk in his word, to walk in obedience. Now, by the help of his spirit, by his spirit, we can now wage war against our flesh, and we can begin the process of walking in holiness, of separating ourselves from looking like the world and becoming and looking more like Yeshua. And as we go through this process, he's going to discipline us along the way when we get held up and caught up on things that are of this world that we're fighting to not let go of. Because his ultimate desire is not for us to settle at being at the halfway point or to settle at being three quarters of the way, but our desire and our goal is to push toward perfection. We will not achieve perfection, but we should push and aim for perfection. Now let's look at 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 11. Therefore Yahweh said to Solomon, since this has been your practice and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Yet for the sake of David your father, I will not do it in your days, but I will tear it out of your hand of your son. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of David my servant and for the sake of Jerusalem I have chosen. So here we see Solomon is receiving the discipline of Yahweh. He has accepted the foreign women. He has turned his back on God. He is worshiping the gods of these women. And so God says, because you have not kept my covenant, I am now going to rip this kingdom in two. This is the discipline that came upon Solomon because of his sin. But even in Solomon's sin, we see Yahweh keeping his faithful word and showing kindness unto David, who walked in that which was righteous. For David's sake, the kingdom was not ripped in half under Solomon, but under Solomon's son. That was the legacy that Solomon passed into his son, was the fact that his sin was going to cause the kingdom to be ripped in two, because of his unrighteousness, because of his hard heart that desired the foreign women over God's law. Now, Solomon, at the end of his life, would see the error of his ways, the vanity of that which he had pursued, and repent of his sin, and turn his heart back unto God. That is God's hope and desire when he brings discipline, is that we will have a change of heart about what we are doing, that we will let go of the pleasure of the sin at the moment in time. Solomon was wrapped up in the pleasure that he was receiving from all of these women, instead of the joy that came from walking in the righteousness of God. And so he brings his discipline, hoping that we will turn from the pleasures that we're experiencing with the sin at that moment in time, and instead turn our focus upon the joy that comes from walking in God's righteousness, walking in his holiness. How do we walk in righteousness? How do we walk in holiness? By walking in obedience to his word. His word sets us apart. When we walk in obedience, there is a fullness of joy. We experience a shalom, and when we love his law, nothing will cause us to stumble. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching, so come back now and shalom, y'all.